The epistle for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from that of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness of Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end, unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. But when the crowds saw it, they were struck with fear, and glorified God who had given such power to men. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Go thy way, thy sins are forgiven thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We know that God alone can forgive sins. It's God alone who is offended by sin, and therefore he alone who can forgive them. And so when, for instance, the priest in the confessional absolves the penitent, it's not through the power of the priest that the sins are forgiven, but it's through the power of God. The priest is merely a representative and an instrument of God's power. Now, by forgiving the man with palsy, Christ declared himself to have this authority, that this power of his own. That means that he was declaring himself to be God. And so the scribe, seeing this, says he blasphemes. He blasphemes because they saw him not as God, not as having divine power, but strictly as a man. Strictly as a man. But it's interesting because they should have, or at least they certainly could have, realized that he was more than a man, that he had divine powers. After all, they came to his own home from far away, did the scribes, trying to come to witness him, to see his work, to hear him. And so they knew that he was no ordinary man. And so ironically, it's the scribes who's saying their Lord blasphemes, who themselves are the ones that are blaspheming. And so we should look at what exactly blasphemy is. What is it that they are doing today? Blasphemy is a contemptuous or abusive language against God or against the saints or against some holy thing. And there are different forms of blasphemy, different ways in which a person can sin by blasphemy. And when we attribute to God something that contradicts his goodness or his holiness or his justice, this can be blasphemy. It would be blasphemy to say that God rejoices to see people suffering on this earth. That would be to take something which contradicts the goodness and the holiness of God. This is assigning to God something which differs from his nature. We could also deny or doubt one of God's perfections. We could doubt, for instance, his justice. We could say that God does not punish in heaven. There is no justice in heaven. This too would be a blasphemy because we're casting doubt upon one of the perfections which God has. When we lower God's infinite majesty by contemptuous or by disrespectful language, this too is considered blasphemy. So to bring God down to a colloquial level, to talk of him as someone ordinary, you know, to say that God is good-natured, he and I go way back, we have a long-standing relationship, he will not harm me, this can be blasphemous language as well. And then one final way in which we can speak directly of God in a blasphemous way is when we attribute to creatures something which belongs to God alone. And as an example of this, we could think of two people who love one another. The one could say to the other, without you, my life would not be worth living. Well, this is false, right? There's no strictly human person on this earth without whom our lives aren't worth living. This takes away from the majesty, the infinite goodness of God, and so this is blasphemy. To attribute something to a creature which belongs to God alone. So those are sins directly against God, the sin of blasphemy directly attacking God. But then there's also those by which we attack, for instance, one of his saints. And St. Thomas Aquinas says, as God is praised in his saints, when we praise the works of which God accomplished in them, so blasphemy against the saints reverts to God himself. So just as an ambassador has this connection to a king, so the saints have to Christ or to God. If an ambassador goes to a place and is honored, the king who this ambassador represents is honored. If it's the other way around and he's disrespected, then the king is disrespected and insulted. And the same holds for the saints and our Heavenly Father. When the saints are honored, God is honored. But when the saints are insulted, God too is insulted. And so through insulting the saints, this is another form of blasphemy. And then also God can be blasphemed against. When men say things contemptuous or derisive against holy objects. An example of this could be the sacraments. It could be sacred scripture. When these are taken lightly, or even worse, when these are spoken out against. This is also blasphemy against God. And this is a kind of blasphemy which is rather common. This is a habit that is difficult for us to break if we begin to develop it and fall into it. To make light of holy things of God and of his church is a very, very dangerous thing to do. And then also, what kind of a sin is it to wish God evil or to curse God? Of course, again, this is blasphemy. Why? Because we are attacking God. To wish that there was no God or that he didn't have the power to punish sinners, this again is blasphemy. And St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that to curse other men, to curse animals, to curse plants, even to curse the weather, is blasphemy, since all of these things are creatures of God. And we started out by saying that blasphemy is contemptuous and abusive language which is uttered. Language which is uttered against God. But this doesn't always have to be spoken. It doesn't have to be through language, spoken language. It can also be through gestures or through signs. And if we think back to our Lord's Passion, the soldiers spat upon our Lord. This was blasphemy. This is an act of blasphemy. They knelt down in mockery of him. This was another act of blasphemy. Then what about those thoughts which we can have that are blasphemous? By intentionally thinking about something which is dishonoring to God, to his saints, or to a holy object, we can commit this sin interiorly. But it's important for us to realize that thoughts which come into our minds are not automatically sins. It's when we think of this thought, we consent to it. That's where it becomes a sin. But if, on the other hand, the thought comes into our mind and it displeases us and we want to get rid of it, then there certainly is no sin there. Just to have a thought in our mind does not mean that we are sinning. And so what should we do when this does happen? When we have a thought come into our mind, such as a blasphemous thought against God, we should try to get rid of it, right? We don't want to think about it. We want to try to get rid of it by thinking of something else. And a good thing always to do is to pray. Maybe to pray a glory be, to make an act of faith, something like this. It's a very powerful thing to do. It's a very good thing to do. Now also while we are on this, we should think of those ways which we can be accessories to the blasphemies of other people. This is very, you know, in the world today, it's very prevalent that we'll come across people who commit this sin. And if we think about movies and shows, for instance, it's a rampant sin within them. And so those movies, those shows, those people who are committing this sin are to be either prudently admonished or to be just avoided at all costs. So especially, you know, if we think of movies, you know, a lot of times people say, well, it's pretty good except for there's just this little bit in it, or there's the language. Well, the language in itself, we think about that, it should be a serious enough thing if it's truly blasphemy for us to avoid such movies or such shows completely, right? Because this is such a dishonor to the God who created us and the God who loves us so much. And when we think about blasphemy, we should realize just where it does stand among all the sins. Saint Jerome, in agreement with all the fathers of the church, says that in comparison to other particular sins, the sin of blasphemy surpasses them all. All other sins look small in comparison. For in every other sin, God is dishonored only indirectly. It is only insofar as his holy law is violated that he is dishonored. But with blasphemy, it's a direct attack on God himself. So it is far worse to sin directly against God than to sin against one of his laws. Now, no man can really injure God. It's beyond our ability to injure God, to harm God. But at the same time, we can think of an example of a man who wants to murder someone. If someone has the intention of murdering, but they're unable to fill that, to execute their plan, they still have committed that sin within them, even though they haven't actually done damage to the person. And the same holds for blasphemy against God. We may not actually injure God, but we're certainly culpable for that grave offense of attempting to injure God, of attempting to bring him down. The sin of blasphemy has always been given severe punishments. If we think about many examples of the Old Testament, but I want to think of two brief ones from more recent times. One of them was St. Louis of France, who made a law that anybody who would speak a blasphemy would have their lips branded. They'd have their lips branded. And so there was a highly respected citizen of Paris who was convicted of this sin. And King Louis was asked to spare him of the disgrace of having his lips branded. But then he said this in response to the man: "When my own person is reviled, I forgive. But when the majesty of God is publicly insulted, never. In fact, I would suffer my own tongue to be pierced with a red-hot iron if thereby I could banish blasphemy from my kingdom." Another example of the severe punishment which blasphemy deserves is a story that happened in 1850. There was a rich English landlord who visited one of his properties to see if the wheat was ripening. When he got there, on account of the heavy rain that had taken place that summer, the wheat was still far from ripe, far from ready to be harvested. And seeing this, the man said, "It is high time to turn God out, as he does not know how to govern the world. I am sure I could manage things a great deal better." And for this blasphemous comment, he was struck dead there and then. So this is a serious sin. This is a very serious sin. Direct attack on God, on his goodness, and on his omnipotence. Blasphemy should be avoided at all costs. But if we have a slip of the tongue, what do? Like with any sin, we make an act of contrition. We ask God for forgiveness. And then also, I think a very powerful thing for us to do is to go to that prayer which was composed specifically to make reparation for blasphemies and profanities against God and against his saints and against those holy objects which we speak of. And we're talking about the divine praises, that prayer which is said at benediction, every time we have exposition and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, the divine praises. And so in this age in which people seem to almost take particular delight in finding creative ways to take the name of our Lord, to take the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or of the saints, of some holy object, and to use it flippantly, to use it as an expletive, we, on the other hand, should take particular delight in doing the opposite. And the Divine Praises is an excellent way to do that. So I encourage all of you, you know, there's no law which says that the Divine Praises can only be prayed in public. They can only be prayed a benediction. This is a beautiful prayer, and there's no more necessary time than today for us to make reparation for all those blasphemies and profanities against God than right now. So let us take to heart the words of the fathers of the church, especially those of Saint Jerome, who says to us just how evil this sin of blasphemy is. Let us do what we can to avoid it our own selves, and then also to make reparation for it, all of those sins of the entire world. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.